Sometimes I feel like Jesus that day. Sometimes I just want to walk in and say, can we not even enter praise and worship for longer than 10 minutes? Sometimes I just want to say, could you not pay attention for the word longer than 10 minutes? Sometimes I get vexed because I wonder what's going on. But then I realize we're not turning loose of the lad. Oh, Lord, we're not giving up what the Lord wants us to surrender. How long have you been saved? 30 years, brother. Well, God bless for your salvation. Are you filled with His Spirit? Oh, yeah. You better believe I know who He is and He knows who I am. Oh, yeah. Well, how's your life going? Oh, it's horrible. Oh, it's horrible. I just can't catch a break. I just can't do anything. My church is horrible. They're the most dry, worst services I've ever been in. Oh, but let me ask you, friend, could you have not endured for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour of time? We'll sit in front of a phone for 3 hours and not even blink. We'll sit in front of a TV for over an hour and not even bat an eye. Hey, friends, you might even be in the bathroom for an hour and it not even bother you. Sometimes you'll go out to eat and you'll sit there and be merry and laugh. You'll go out on the lake and spend all day long, get sunburnt and sacrifice yourself to have a good time. But we come in here and we know that we know Him. We know that we have His Spirit. We know that He's alive in us. But then when it comes time to turn loose, we're not letting go. I'm telling you, church, we're not letting go the way that He wants us to. Because if you were really loose as a goose, you wouldn't let anything. My God, I got to run. Woo! Oh, Lord. I will to God that somebody turn loose right now. Oh, Lord. You can just sit there if you want. But I'm going to see my lad live again. Mother of my soul. Woo! It's time in due time that you turn loose of what lives inside of you. It'll flow like rivers of living water. Woo! Don't you be bashful. Turn loose of a praise. Come on. Stop looking around. Close your eyes, look forward, and turn loose of a praise. My Lord. Oh. Oh, God's wanting to do something in this realm. Somebody ought to believe. He said where one would put 1,000 to flight. 2, 10,000. I'm going to call out. You pray with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we want to have that devil chasing power. We want to have that demon destroying power. And God, we're ready to turn loose of our lad. Somebody needs to pray this with me and stop holding back. I don't understand, God, but I trust you. I don't understand it, Lord, but I believe. And here's the tough part, and you better be sincere. I surrender. Oh, I surrender. Oh. We surrender, God. Let us not be the ones asleep in the garden. Let us not be the prophets unwilling to move and have to be thrown in the well to get our act together. Let us not be as the ones that declare that we could be better than the prophet of God that was sent by fire. Let us, God, be transformed by what you have put inside of us. Oh, don't waste your standing up. Give him a praise before you sit down. Somebody's right on the brink. You got to press through to break through, my friend. Turn it loose. I'm going to do it with you. Lord! Yay! You can stand or sit as you wish. Ephesians chapter 4. For some of you that still have your bubble, we're coming for you. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering. And if you're there, or if you know it by heart, say this next part with me, forbearing one another in love. Let's say that one more time to get it in our spirit. Forbearing one another in love. Let me read verse 3. Endeavoring to keep. This is important. Endeavoring to keep. What is it? The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So how do we continue to stay humble as a body? We encourage each other. Long-suffering means you're patient with one another. You might have saw the same person come in and complain of the same thing for 8 months. But what about if it was that next time that caused them to have their breakthrough? We might attend church all year long and not see somebody saved doing the best that we can do. But did the Bible not say for us to rejoice concerning the one? If just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it'll be worth every struggle. It'll be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. Oh, Lord. The preachers are preaching. The singers are tired. The church as we know it is losing its fire. But some are discouraged from bearing the load, but they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul. Cause if one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it'll be worth every struggle. It'll be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. We might get tired of each other. You might already know the songs they're going to sing, but that doesn't change the fact that our faith should remain unchanged. Oh, my Lord. Then you begin to realize it's not about the song that they're singing, but it's about the fact that they're offering themselves as a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. And we can begin to enter into the unity of the Spirit through peace. So unless we're going to learn to encourage each other, it's not going to be peaceful. How many of you have ever been in a church service where you come in and from the very first moment, it was easy? The songs were easy. It was easy to sing. It just felt like everything was moving in His will. Those don't happen like they should, right? Not enough. But here's the deal. We're not in the unity of the Spirit. Different minds, stray different ways. You leave the poor preacher to try to bring everybody together. I don't have enough tricks in my sleeve to bring us to the unity of the Spirit. You've got to choose to be in the unity of the Spirit. And until we do that, we're going to come into services where people are going to come up and say, I need a change in my marriage. I need something to move right now. And we're not going to be ready. And I hate to add on to that, but the Scripture said for those of us that know to minister to people and we let them down, that the blood's on our hands. When you're walking around in the grocery store and you know you're supposed to pay for something, but yet you try to go off with it anyway, the people have the right to call you a thief. If you come, oh yeah, the rest of the bubbles are going right now. If you come to church and you know you're supposed to do His will, but you don't, then we're disobedient. And the Bible calls that sin. For them that know to do good and to do it not, I don't even have to preach on that, do I? Can we leave that one alone? Amen. Let's move on. Same chapter in Ephesians. So number one, we got to learn to pray to stay humble. Number two, we've got to learn to encourage each other. Number three, let's read of Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32. Powerful chapter. You should go through it later tonight. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be what? Put away. Somebody say, get rid of it. Put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Oh, let me do one more. Ho, ho. Forgiving one another even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. Scoot back over, brother. I'm coming in. Now you stay over there. I'm not interested in you. Have you heard about that old Derek? Oh, he's been living wrong. I've seen it with my own eyes, brother. Oh, what are we going to do about it? I tell you what I'm going to do. The next time he tries to dance for the Lord, I'm just going to let him dance, and I'm going to look at him like he's a fool. You're not hearing any of this, are you? All right. But let me tell you, I failed horribly this week, but God understands. He said to forgive one another. Judge not lest you be judged. Oh, Lord. If you're going to come in and just look at people and act like you've got it together better than them, he that will be abased shall be exalted, and he that will be exalted shall be abased. You try to act like you've got it together, and I can guarantee you, you're going to lose something that's important to you. God didn't give you anything for you to pretend like that you've got it all together. He gave it to you to humble you. He didn't give it to you to say, look what I have. He gave it to you to say, thank you, God, for giving it to me. Woo! Oh! Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for another service. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters. Thank you, God, that we're still standing. Thank you, Lord, that you have not left this place. Thank you, God, that the work's not over. So number three, get rid of what tarnishes humbleness. Let me tell you, when you get bloodstains on concrete, you just have to get rid of the concrete. Because there's hardly no cleansing it once it's been tarnished. And if you're going to try to be a legitimate witness of Christ, and you try to judge people, and you try to pretend like you have the right, let me tell you what you're doing. You're putting blood on your own life. And then when people see you, they're not going to take you seriously. They'll even be afraid to serve God with you. I've been in some churches where they stared at me so hard. If stares could have been punches, I would have been black and blue by the time I left. I've had people evaluate my wardrobe. I've had people evaluate the way that I talk. I've had people correct me for a double negative before. I've had people grab my Bible out of my hand and make sure that it was King James Version before they ever let me get to preach inside of their church. I have been evaluated by all of men's standards, but when I stand for the Lord, they're not going to be able to trump what the Holy Ghost can do inside of my life. So don't you worry about people. They're going to come and go. Let's read this last scripture. Has this been good? Too long? All right. I take your word for it. 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn with it if you got it. We're going to read verse 6. It'll give you a few seconds to get there. Are we understanding the importance of humbleness with faith now? I hope so. Because I strove hard to get here and be ready. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. You probably already read it, but let's read it together. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. That's not where it ends. Let's finish the rest of that and accept it too. That he may exalt you in due time. The number four thing we've got to learn to do when we stay humble is to being patient when we do not understand. Let me tell you, if you take a week of this formula, if you begin to pray, encourage people, get rid of the things that tarnish your humbleness, and you begin to be patient with God instead of demanding everything that you ever need, I'm going to tell you, you may not see everything transformed immediately, but you're going to begin to feel some things in the realm. You're going to begin to know that God is moving. You know how you know that? Because when it tries to bother you, you are at peace. The unity of the Spirit means you are at peace. With no peace, there is no prosperity. Because unless you can be patient and understanding to the fact that you don't get it, then we can't grow. Listen, when people come to the altar in the future, because God is preparing us to be ready, I feel like he's going to make this place and that place a facility of deliverance. I feel that. But we've got to be prepared. And unless we come in as a humble people, let me tell you what you'll do. About the time that God's ready to deliver somebody, you're ready to go. Well, it's been fun, Sister Sharon. I enjoyed it, but I got better things to do. Excuse me for a minute. Let me go outside. What's up, baby? How was service, brother? Oh, it was wonderful. The power of God came down just about the time you left. Wait a minute. So I should have probably stayed, right? Listen, God will sometimes send people out to bring unity. Jesus even dismissed people out of a house once. Was it for Jairus' daughter, right? That she would be healed? If you've ever wondered why it's hard, maybe you're a praise and worship singer, And I know you might be older and wiser than me, but I'm just going to tell you what I've learned. You know why it's hard to sing and worship sometimes? Because we are not in unity of the Spirit. Plain and simple. You could sing the best song in your songbook, but unless the body has been doing the work out there to be ready to come in here, it's a struggle from the very moment you start. And I'm all for trying and making sure that we don't shortchange God, but here's the deal, and I'm going to put it out there. You can't do 7 and 8 songs when you're not in unity and it mean anything. I don't want to sing Sharon to death, because bless her heart, she'll try. But unless we're in unity, you know what? We're wasting her effort. If you can't say amen because that choked you, just nod. If that bothered you, just sort of, yeah, I know, brother, yeah, I know. It's kind of like that acknowledgement where somebody says, you know, your fly's down, right? And you're, yeah, I know. And if we don't learn to execute in the realm of the Spirit, if we pass by praise and worship like it doesn't mean anything, let me tell you what happens. Chaos, confusion, calamity. Then the preacher has to preach for an hour or an hour and 15 minutes, I'll confess. I think that's my record to date, hour 15. I should have just let go after about 45. But here's the deal. I'm going to speak to the ministers in the house of God. You don't have to keep fighting and trying when you know and can see in your spirit that they're not with you. If you put out there the word that God has given you to give them and they still reject it, just sit down and save it for another day. People may reject you and revile you, but Jesus said, remember, they did it to me first. And we've got to learn to take a hold of our services from the very get-go. We should be in such a praise that you don't even hear the shofar. We should be praying for so long that somebody has to tell you to stop before you will. Because if things are important to you, you spend time for it. You like living in your house. You work really hard to pay the mortgage, right? But if people mean something to you, you're going to walk in humble faith and come in and serve him anyway. Some of the greatest sermons I've ever preached was when I felt the worst. I can't stress that enough. Some of the most difficult times where I saw God perform miracles and breakthroughs was when I was going through the greatest of struggles out in my life. Was you living in sin, brother? No, I'm tested every day with things I go through. And as we walk humbly before him and realize it's not in our strength, it's not in what we can do. We read about Jacob, remember? It's not in our clever or our cunning. It's not in the things that we can devise and make it better. It's simply like the woman did to Elijah. Take my lad. Now let's get to where Elijah was, because I'm going to close tonight. He comes, takes him up to the room. You know, he didn't document this, but I'm sure he may have been thinking to himself, what am I going to do? If you are a servant of God and you're faced with difficulty, within yourself, you'll want to say, what do I do with this? When you have turmoil and division inside of your church and you don't know which side to take and what to do, you're going to ask yourself, what do I need to do with this? If you're faced with adversity in your walk with God outside of this building, chances are you've asked the question, what am I going to do? But let's read about what he did. He laid the lad out, he prayed over him, and then he cried. It wasn't his child. It was not his child, but yet he cried. Oh, Lord, it may not be your family member that's having the breakthrough night at the service, but do you love them enough to support them anyway? If that choked you, just nod. We know that it cannot be just about us. And I'm going to get a little bit bigger than just the building. Are you ready? If we're going to be somewhere where our community will trust, then we have to stop coming in and only serving for ourselves. The church is a platform to give people an open opportunity for salvation. And if we spend 2.5 hours fighting just to get our blessing and never getting the message of the gospel out in the service, you've missed the boat. And I'm just learning this. You go through that season where you think you could evangelize anything, but you wait till you get in a real situation. And you'll realize that evangelizing everything doesn't fix everything. If we're going to be a platform for our community, we must walk humbly. We must not judge our community. We must embrace our community. They already have enough people out there that don't trust them. They already have enough people that are doubters and haters on them. Wouldn't it be amazing, Sister Martha, if we were able to be a place that no matter what problem it was, that they would feel safe? I cannot tell you the amount of times that I've talked to Christians that were younger in God that may have looked a little bit different, sounded a little bit different, may have had markings on their body, piercings here and there, that when they were initially beginning the conversion of being righteous and holy, said that they felt the most uncomfortable. Guess what? Wasn't at Walmart. Guess what? Wasn't at the doctor. It was here. Listen, you've got to give people a chance to grow. You've got to give a place for people to feel safe. And if we're going to be too busy judging people, and, oh, I can't. Can I just bob my head a little bit? I cannot believe that they did that, brother. I just want to roll my eyes at that kind of attitude, because you can tell me all the good you've done, and it still don't amount to what Christ did. Let me finish with this. I want to read this part one more time. If you can and if you want to, I encourage you to come, and let's get a song ready. Let me read the conclusion of this one more time. So the Lord heard his cry. He heard the voice of Elijah. But you know what that's really saying? He heard his faith. And the soul of the child came into him again. Here's a real question. Here's a grown-up Christian question. When's the last time that you know God heard you? How many of you ever prayed before and feel like it's hitting the ceiling and coming back to you? When you are totally and utterly in complete surrender to the Spirit, listen, friend, you're going to know he heard you. He said he hears the cries of his people. Didn't say he heard your pity. Said he heard your cry. Humbleness. Faithfulness. That is what causes us to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its right way of living. Let's finish this. And he took the child and brought it down out of the chamber back to the lady. So she didn't see what happened. She didn't see the miracle. But she was putting her trust in the representative of God. And it may not have happened the way that you could imagine that you'd want everything to come into place. But at the end of the day, would it not be worth it if someone was saved even at your own cost? So think about that tonight. I'm challenging your faith right now. Even if it's in the upper room, even when it's out of your vision, can we still not be faithful to believe that in due time we'll receive what we have petitioned to God for? And let me tell you, if you have a fervent prayer life, you're going to weed out what's not important anyway. You don't have to come to me and say, brother, is it okay if I pray for a car? You're going to know if you need it or not, and God's going to lead you in how to pray for a car. You'll go from saying, well, give me the Cadillac, to just give me four wheels to get me from A to B. There are things that we legitimately need in life. We legitimately need things to change. And I'm not discounting the fact that we call out for the desires of our heart. But let me tell you, if you're humble, you're not going to be selfish. It's going to stop being about you, and you're going to know you're tapping into something deeper. When you get down to praying, you thought you were going down for you, but then you get back up and you feel good for somebody else. I could point you out tonight right now of the faces that God has shown me this week that I prayed for. And I'm glad to see you here, and I'm glad to see your countenance growing. And I'm claiming already by faith that your life's going to be transformed even greater. But here's the deal. The Lord showed me our faith must grow if we are going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. We must be in unity of the Spirit before we even try to execute our own church. Because if you like a program and you like going through seeing something on paper and you like it, I can understand some places are big enough they've got to have it. But if you like that kind of thing, there's places like that for you. But this is not that place. It's going to be different every time you come in the door. It's going to be somebody different on the floor. Used to, I was in confusion about that, but now I've embraced it. You know why? Because anything done in the Holy Spirit, you don't have to worry. Go ahead and stand with us. Look over at your neighbor. We'll say the ever classic phrase. Tell him, thank God he's done. Do you feel your faith being challenged tonight? If you do, then I have accomplished what the will of God was for me tonight. But I don't want you to go out of here feeling heavy in your heart. I want you to come. If you need help with your faith, I want you to come if you need help with turning loose of that proverbial lad, the figurative metaphor of what the lad represented. If you need help turning loose of what you don't understand, if you need deliverance and peace in your heart, I'm opening this altar for you. And most of all, if you do not know Jesus Christ and you need him as your Savior, you are always welcome to come and pray. But I'm extending this by faith to those that may be struggling with this, because I know God sent me here tonight. It wasn't easy, and it was a struggle to fight to get here, but God has blessed me to have this moment, and I'm here to help you and pray with you. And as they sing, and as you're praying, pillars, if you feel that tug, if it's time for change, today's your day.